Short Sunday school lesson. If you can just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this morning for keeping your word and keeping your promise to be in our midst, O Lord, when we are gathered in such manner, O Lord. We thank you for the freshness of the day. We know that your hand will be upon us, Heavenly Father, and you lead us throughout this service, O Lord, that will provide a good atmosphere, that your angels, that you will send the host of heaven in our midst, O Lord, so that our worship will be acceptable in your presence. Forgive everything, our weaknesses, anything that can hinder us from getting into your presence. Your children have come, O Lord, with their needs, with their desires, with their sorrows, O Lord, because we know that you are the one who gives us answers, O Lord. We know you are the one who provides, and we know that we'll go with our burden lifted up, O Lord. We thank you now. Take now the leadership as we share these few words in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Can you just sing one song before we can? Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. Seated. So one more lesson on our topic, the angel of the Lord. Who is the angel of the Lord? But we are still putting a background because we'll get to that point of who is really the angel of the Lord. But we just want to put a background so that we understand the notion of angels and angelic beings and heavenly creatures. So the last two lessons we saw what angels are and what are they for. We saw that there's a hierarchy in the angelic world because angel is generic term that refers to all the heavenly beings, but among angels we saw that there are categories. So we saw there are angels, there are seraphims, there are cherubims, and in the group of angels we saw there are even archangels. So we saw also that not all angelic beings or heavenly beings, not all of them have wings, because the common understanding is that an angel have got wings. So we saw that, especially that category of angels, they don't have wings at all. Because throughout history, we've seen throughout the Bible that all the angels that appeared to human beings, they didn't have wings. They are spirits, as the Bible says, at the service of those who will hear of salvation. So even in Revelation, one of the angels that was speaking to John is said to him that, "I'm one of your brethren, the prophets." So he was just a normal human, looking like a normal human being. So we saw that a second category we referred to was the seraphims. And the prophet says that the seraphims are the highest category. They are the highest in the hierarchy of angels because they are the closest to the throne. They are the offering presenters to God. They burn the offering. So the prophet Isaiah saw them in a vision, and they had three pairs of wings, and they were singing day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." Amen. So their job is to present, and we saw how they bring the sacrifice to God. The sacrifice is our worship, is our praises. So coming from human beings, from sinful creatures that we are, it goes into the presence of the Lord, but it can't be brought into his presence because it's coming from our nature, our sinful nature. The seraphims, who are the offering burners, they will take that, our worship, and mix it all along together with their own worship and make it presentable, acceptable before God. So that is their job. They are there to worship and present our worship to God. The third category we're going to see today is the cherubims. So, because these things are very important, as I said in the previous two lessons. We are in an age where there's a promise that angels will be ministering to people, to human beings. We need to know what is an angel. And when you come in contact with angels, you'll understand. Sometimes you may miss a God-sent angel because you don't know what is an angel. So those angels with wings, we've seen the first category, the seraphim. Their job is not, God don't send them to minister to us. Their job is to be before God day and night and offer, present offerings to God. Amen. So if someone comes and tells you, "I had a vision of a seraphim, he came and told me that God said this, this, and that," that's out of the world. Because their job, those who are sent to minister to us, to bring messages to us from God, they are angels. Those ones, they don't have wings. Amen. So the cherubims now. The cherubim, the Bible defined them as the guard of the throne. Amen. So even their appearance, they have a very different appearance. They are not those, you know, beautiful, handsome angels that we are used to hear about. But the cherubims, they have a frightening look because they are made to be the bad guys. You understand what I mean? They are the guards of the throne. So God is so holy that they are there just to filter out that nothing unholy can access the throne. Amen. We'll see the first time the Bible mentions cherubim is in Genesis 3, after man sinned and God chased them away from the garden. He put cherubims, and the first mention of them, it referred to them as people. They don't joke around what they are doing. They've got, you know, burning swords, fiery swords that they were there to prevent man from accessing, having access to the tree of life. Because they are there, they want to keep that holiness around the throne. They are the guardians of the throne. And when they are standing there, it's just to prevent sin to access the throne. So since Adam and Eve, when they were pure in the presence of God, they had free access to the throne. And they couldn't see any cherubim preventing, stopping them from accessing the throne because they were okay. They were perfect and holy. Amen. But when sin came, something changed in their relationship between them and God. So God put now something, the cherubim, that will prevent them. And they were there standing day and night, prevent access to the throne. God shows, if we go into Ezekiel 28, verse 12 to 14. If brother can give us quickly. He says, son of man. It refers to the king of Tyrus, but prophetically it refers to Lucifer when he was still a cherubim. Amen. He said, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus says the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, and all the stones. The workmanship of thy tabrets and for thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that you was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so that was upon the holy mountain of God. So he said, referring to him as the anointed cherub that covered. In another version, in the French version, and in the another version, the international version, he says, you were anointed as a guardian cherub. Amen. So his role was to guard. And even in Eden, when they put them there, the Bible says they had to guard the access to the tree of life. The cherubim, their role is to guard. And even if you see, if you go into Ezekiel 1, when Ezekiel saw now a detailed description of the cherubim. Because in Genesis 3, they just tells us that God put cherubims. But they don't describe the way they were. In Ezekiel, when he described Lucifer before the fall, he says you were a cherub, but it doesn't describe his appearance. Mm-hmm. But in Ezekiel, to show that there are guys who are there just to protect the throne, they are the hosts, they are the fighters, amen. They are not those gentle angels that you are used to see, those smiley angels. They are there with fiery faces to protect the access to the throne. So in Ezekiel 1, the prophet saw, it's from 1 to 28, but we're going to read just a few verses. The prophet Ezekiel saw a representation of what they were. Verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire.
Verse 5. Also out of the midst thereof came out the likeness of four living creatures. The prophet Ezekiel see them as living creatures because he couldn't describe them exactly. They were not looking like perfect men, but he just used the word, the term living creatures. And this were their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Verse 6. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Verse 7. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of a burnished brass. So they were, you know, there was fire around them. They were not playing. They are not guys, people that you'll just come around them and joke. They are there to protect. And if you come to play, they will hit you. They are the guardians of the throne. They are the soldiers of the army. Amen. Verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And therefore had the face of an ox on the left side, and therefore had the face of an eagle. Amen. So they had four faces. They had wings, but they had four faces. Man, lion, eagle, and ox. Amen. In verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creature, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. Amen. And like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. So it's not, you know, a pleasant scene around them. They just want to keep you away from approaching the throne. There's lightning, there's fire, there's, you know, lions, eagles, and just to keep you away from approaching the holiness of the throne. Amen. So we saw, John saw the same thing when he saw the throne. Everywhere the throne of God is, everywhere God resides, those four creatures are there to protect the holiness of God so that nothing bad could access it. Amen. So in John saw the same thing. When now God wanted to dwell among his people, Because of sin, he couldn't dwell in human's heart. Amen. So in the wilderness, when they came out of Egypt to the promised land, God wanted them to build the tabernacle. There they refer us to the cherubim again. Because when God put the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant and everything, he wanted that, he told Moses, you'll put two cherubim to cover, to protect the access to that. Because that was the living place of God that time. In the midst of his people, God's throne was in the tabernacle, in that real same very place. Amen. So, to keep people from accessing the holiness of God, he represented that. Me living here, I put the cherubim to protect my throne. So everywhere God's presence was seen, felt at some stage, the cherubim had to be there to prevent sin from accessing. That's why in the tabernacle, if the high priest entered there without good preparation, without being pure himself, he would be killed straight away. Because that is their job. They don't allow sin to come. God put them in the tabernacle so that him being there, the cherubim will be there to keep anything, any rubbish, any filthy things to access the throne. Amen. So it went so. Everywhere the throne of God was, the cherubim was there to protect the throne, to protect the access to the throne. They are the guards of the throne. Amen. But God didn't live forever in that tabernacle. Amen. God had to move at some stage. And we know, if you read that vision of Ezekiel, the cherubim, not only they were the guard of the throne, but they were the bearer of the throne as well. Because if you've seen the vision, they've got the throne at wheels on it, and every time the cherubim were moving, the throne was moving with them. So every time the throne moved, they have to move with the throne. When the throne left the tabernacle, they were not there anymore. They followed the throne where it was. And we know the throne lived in the person of Jesus Christ. So the cherubim were there protecting him, because the tree of life they were protecting in the Garden of Eden was now made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. So they were there protecting that body, because that body was God himself, the tree of life made flesh. Amen. But he said, it's good for me to go so that I will come back and dwell in you. Amen. So today, Paul says, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Amen. So, my brother, my sister, sometimes you don't know what you are. You don't know, because you'll see a brother just before seeing, a cockroach, and you are afraid of a cockroach. You are afraid of, demons and magicians and mosquitoes and lizards. You have a host of heaven following you. From the moment the throne of God is in you, amen, because you are the temple of God today. If you can read it, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, amen. So that temple that was in the desert, in the wilderness, where God was sitting, where the high priest could enter only in the holiest of the holies once a year. And if he was not worthy to enter there, he would die. And they'll pull him by a rope. Amen. That holiest of the holies is now in the human's heart. So that ark, that mercy seat that was in the tabernacle, is today in your heart and in my heart. And since that holy seat, that mercy seat is in you and me, the throne of God is in you and me, the cherubims are there. Because wherever the throne is, they are there to protect the throne. Amen. They are the protectors of the throne. Amen. So that's why, don't be afraid of anything. When the Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear him, my brother, is not those kind angels. Nice looking faces, smile angels. No, they are fighters. These are those cherubim. They are there. Their role is not to bring you a message from God. If God wants that message to be delivered, there are many of them that will do it. Gabriel and some others, those who minister for delivering messages. But to protect you, to protect the throne of God that sits in you and me, that's the role of the cherubims. Because we've got the throne of God sitting in your heart day and night, that throne, God won't accept that anything coming from the devil touch his throne. That's why that angel, that cherubim, will be there to guard you day and night. So, brother, if only one day God will open you your eyes to see what's around your sister, you'll see those lightnings, you'll see those thunders, you'll see those fire, you'll see those everything, because they are there day and night. The devil know, the demons know, but sometimes we don't know, because God keep our eyes to see just in this realm. But from the moment you are born in the kingdom of God, God is there, and his mighty army is there to protect you. Amen. Amen. So it's very important for us to understand this classification, this categorization of the heavenly beings, because we are living in a day where there's a lot of teachings around there. People are coming up with many interpretations, with many, because people want to be worshipped. People want to be made, to make themselves something above other people. They'll come, you know, I have an angel. The angel spoke to me. I've seen an angel. Don't be afraid with that. If he's got an angel, you've got an angel too. Amen. You have your angel that protects you. And not only that protects you, you have the throne of God in your heart. Amen. And having the throne, God is obliged to have that throne guarded day and night. Amen. So, one day, the prophet Elisha, was surrounded by the Syrian army. You know the story. The servants didn't understand what league they were playing. Amen. He thought it was a small league, you know, the street leagues. Those who know football, they know, no? There's the higher leagues and the small leagues. He thought they were still in low-level league. He said, but see, the Syrians, they are surrounding us with, you know, weapons and tanks and everything. What will we do? The prophet was just smiling. Because the prophet knew, because in those days, to consult God, the tabernacle, the temple was not built yet. Because they were in, let's say, there were two ways to consult God. You could go into the place of assembly, or you could go and see the prophet. So the prophet was one of the dwelling places of God. Amen. God was dwelling in those days in the prophet of the day, who was Elisha. So Gehazi didn't understand that God dwelling in this man made the whole host of heaven to come down and protect the throne. Amen. Because he can't leave the throne unguarded. But the man just thought, since we are surrounded by this Syrian army, we're going to die. God told him, Elijah told him, God, can you just for maybe a few seconds open this man's eyes so that he can see? When God allowed him to see, the Bible says the mountain was full of chariots and fires, and that's what you are exactly. When you walk, my brother, you are protected by an army of angels. Amen. So no one should come and make you, you know, frighten you or try to make himself someone. Because most of these things, when you receive a visitation from the true angel, it will humble you. Amen. Mary, when she received the visitation from the angel, she didn't make herself a big person. See the prayer she made after that. She was a humble person, and she wanted to humble herself before the Lord. But most of these things that come in the name of the angels, that I've seen an angel, I'm this and that, most of them you will see, they are not genuine. I recall the prophet, we're going to close, in one example, was saying in the days of Martin. Martin was the messenger of that day. And there was a group of boys, and one of them, they were kind of ministers under the supervision of Martin. One of the boys wanted to make himself someone above the others. So he said to them, see, tonight at 12 o'clock midnight tonight, you will see me in a shiny, bright robe. And the friends, they accepted. They didn't accept, but they said, let's wait. And at 12 midnight, as he said, he was in a shiny, bright white robe and everything. But they didn't just take it as he said. They said, no, we have a prophet in the land. Martin is there. Let's go and consult the prophet. The boy said, no, you've seen the robe. Accept me and worship me. And they said, no, let's go and check the word first. He didn't want to go. They grabbed him. They pulled him. And before they get to check, you know, to consult the word, the robe disappeared. Amen. In one other instance, Martin himself, he was meditating, praying in night. He saw an angel. Amen. He saw an angel, bright, coming down. And he said to him, the angel told him, I'm your Lord Jesus. Worship me. Martin said, I've never seen something in the word when Jesus asking for worship. Mm-hmm. Everybody who saw the Lord Jesus, his presence made them to worship them themselves. He didn't ask for them to worship him. Right. But how come this Jesus asking me to worship him? The man was crowned, the man had got everything. Martin consulted everything with the word. He saw that this man is a fake. Amen. So everything that they bring up to you, just check it with the word. And make sure we are giving these things so that we can know. Because these things, one day or the other, they will come across. You'll come across it and you know you are warned to understand that. It's true, we're going to have angels today. And in the last two lessons from next week, we're going to see, my brother, my sister, we'll see the prophet saying, the angel of the Lord sometimes is just a minister standing in the pulpit. Amen. Amen. A minister standing on the pulpit is the angel of the Lord to you. Speaking from the Lord to you makes him an angel of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Lord. We commit now this service into your hands. Take the leadership and take everything under your control in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.